I really have something I want you to get a hold of this morning. Let's go to Job chapter 27 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Job chapter 27, verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul." I just looks like I'm not getting a fair shake in life. "All the while, though, my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils." That's what he breathed into Adam when he became a living soul. He said, "My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." As long as I got breath and the Spirit of the Almighty, my lips, what I have on the inside, will be reflected on the outside. I will not let my lips or my tongue be deceitful. "God forbid that I should justify you," speaking of his friends, "till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me." Listen close. Till I die, I will die this way. I am not going to change. I'm going to walk in my integrity. You may not understand me. You may talk about me, but you don't know the whole story. So I'm going to continue to walk in what I know and what I know he knows. So I'm going to continue to walk in my integrity. "My righteousness," he said, "I hold fast." I'm going to cling to it and will not let it go. "My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live." As long as you have know you've done right in your heart, forget what they say. This thing is between you and God, not me, you, and God. It's between me and God and you and God. I want to preach for a little while a tribute to tenacity. I will not let it go. I will hold fast to it. It's a tribute to tenacity. God, I'm thankful for this opportunity that we have. People here today have chosen. They made a decision to come to church to hear your word. Lord, and your word is enlightening. David said, "I put it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." Lord, enlighten us this morning. Put the light on the inside of us, for you said, "If your word abides in us and we abide in you, we can ask what we will and it shall be done." Let the word of God not return void, as it never does, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. I imagine every one of you today has used WD-40. Who has not ever used WD-40? We've all used WD-40. Does anybody here, little quiz, anybody here know what WD-40 stands for? All right? He's got that right. WD means water displacement. A couple or three scientists got together and they were trying to create something for the Rocket Chemical Company to put as a corrosion resistance material on the outer skin of one of the spaceships, which was called the Atlas missile. And so they tried to develop this rust corrosion-free solution to put on there. And this water displacement, WD, now you know, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. WD means water displacement. And so they tried, number one, they tried to make up the formula and it failed. So they said, "Let's try it again." And they tried it two times and it failed. And they said, "This time it'll work. Number three, it'll work." And they tried it the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time. And they tried it 39 times and it failed every time. But on the 40th time, they said, "This time, surely it's going to work." And they tried it, and it worked. It was perfected on the 40th time. Therefore, they called it WD-40 because they were relentless and they would not give up. Had they went another time, you'd be spraying WD-41, WD-42. I'm not going to stop until it is perfected. And when it is perfected, it'll be the same forever. Once something is perfected, it is perfected.
And that company now is a $1.5 billion company. It's used in everything from aerospace to women's sewing machines all around the world. And on locks at my lease and chains and you name it. We use it. Guns, you name it. We use it. Don't fry with it or anything. But. And then, so now that I've kind of told you that, does anybody know, anybody ever use formula 409? Well, now you know the rest of the story. It took 409 tries. And when they hit the 409th time, there's not 409 ingredients. It's called Formula 409 because on the 409th time, it worked. They were tenacious. They wanted to make something that would cut grease, remove dirt, kill bacteria, and they finally come up with something on the 409th time that worked. And they said, this is it. And today, we're still using 409. The disciples came to Jesus and said, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? As always, when are you going to set up your kingdom? I want to sit on the right. John wants to sit on the left. Even Mama got involved. Mama was saying, hey, when you come to your kingdom, could my boy sit on the right? It'd be like Ruth saying, I want Jesus. I want Tom to sit on the left. I want Marshall on the right. Yeah. It's the only opportunity I get to do this. And he said, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink of the cup that I'm drinking of? Indeed you shall. So after he's went to the cross and he's fixing to be resurrected and he says, I'm no longer going to be with you. They said, at this time? Is it time? He said, it's not the time for you to know the times of the season, but it's my Father which is in heaven. Just keep trying. See, just keep trying. Just keep living. Just keep doing it. And when it's right, it'll be right. But don't quit trying. Just keep living. Quit worrying about when I'm coming. Quit worrying about, just live. The Bible speaks of a lady named Leah that Jacob married out of a mistake. And the one he really wanted was Rachel. And so he worked. It's kind of funny because he worked 7 years to get Leah. And it's not the one he wanted. And didn't know it till the next morning. That's kind of confusing, but he didn't know it till the next morning that it was Leah. And so he goes back to her dad and says, you deceived me. And he said, yeah, well, it's not right that the oldest not get married first. So if you want Rachel, you have to work 7 more years. Well, he actually gave her to him, but he still had to work more 7 more years. And this was what was interesting. He said it seemed like but a few days. It's amazing how when you want something and you work for it, time goes by quick because you want it so bad. And you're willing to work hard to get it. And so he finally gets Rachel, and guess what? She's hated of her sister. Rachel hates Leah. And when the Lord saw that Rachel hated Leah, the Bible says he opened up Leah's womb and she conceived. Now, Leah was all about the song is not right. I'm going to make you love me. Anybody ever heard that song? I'm going to make you love me. That's one of those 70 songs. Now, don't leave me out here like I'm the only sinner that listened to that. Y'all listen to it too. Okay. And so she thought, I'm going to make him love me. So she's thinking when the Lord opens her womb, oh, the Lord's with me. See, the Lord's with me. Says, surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction and he has given me a child. And she called his name Reuben. And so Reuben was like, the Lord gave me this. Now this time he will love me. But he didn't. He didn't. And so then she says, oh, now the Lord has looked upon my hatred. And she bare another child unto him and called his name Simeon. And this time the Lord will have him love me. He'll love me now. And he didn't. It's bad when you think the Lord is using you in one capacity, but that's not really the capacity he's using you in. She thought that the Lord's looking upon this and he's going to help me to get my husband to love me. Wrong. So she thought, next time I'll try it again. And Then she has another one whose name is Levi. Says, surely this time he will be joined to me. Because Levi means to be joined. And surely this time I have borne him 3 sons. So surely this time he's going to love me. And he didn't. So the next time she has another child. And she said, his name shall be called Judah. Meaning praise. And this is what she said. And this time I will praise the Lord. And this time, and she left off bearing. This time I'm going to quit trying to please Mr. Jacob. And I'm going to please him. And when I please him, I can't help what they do and what they believe and what they say. This time I'm going to please the Lord. Does anybody have a this time in you that where I'm tired of trying to please you in the world? I have got to please him. And if pleasing him don't please you, I cannot worry about that. I want to please him above all of you and above everybody else. I must please the Lord. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. She said, I'm going to please the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so she had Judah. And did she ever praise the Lord? Because out of Judah comes Christ. It didn't come out of these other 3. It came out of Judah, came Christ. And he was the praise of God. And he was the glory of God. And whenever you finally get to the place, you quit trying to please men and you learn to please God, God always gets the glory. Hallelujah. I hope this morning that I reach somebody that this time you're going to quit worrying about trying to please people. This time I'm going to quit worrying about what they say. This time I'm going to just go on and do what the Lord leads me to do, regardless of what they think or say. And I never was propelled to where I am today, and I still got a long ways to go. Believe me, I do. But I got to where I am today when I quit worrying about what they say. Let me tell you, there's always some sayers out there. Always, as Jesus came out of Caesarea Philippi, he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art Jonah, Jeremiah, Elias, or one of the other prophets. But who do you say that I am? It's got to get to the point where it's you and Christ and not you and them in Christ. Your salvation, no one's going to die for you but Christ. No matter how many times you fail, no matter how many times you mess up in life, you must get up and praise the Lord. You must get up again and praise the Lord. If there ever was a man that knew how to fall, did you hear how I said that? He knew how to fall. You know, there's one thing to fall, but it's another thing to know how to fall. If you know how to fall, you don't get hurt. You can get back up. If you don't know how to fall, you break bones and hips and things like that. But if you know how to fall, you just can dust yourself up and recover real quick because you didn't get devastated by the fall. And so David knew how to fall. He fell in the arms of God is who he would fall into. Even though he messed up as much as he did, he knew how to fall. And he would always go back to God. When they thought of stoning him, he said, Lord, you know, I've messed up, but should I go after the enemy or should I just leave it alone? What should I do? He's asking just God. And the Lord says, get up and you shall recover all. When he had the baby out of wedlock, you know, the baby, and as long as the baby was alive, he's falling on the floor, he's weeping, he's wailing, he's snotting, he's crying, he's not eating, he seems depressed and all that. And then he saw them whispering, and he said, what are y'all whispering about? Is the baby dead? And they said, yeah, David, he's dead. He said, okay. And he got up, and he got up, and he washed his face. And where did he go? The house of the Lord to worship. He knew how to fall. And he knew how to get up. And so he wrote these words. He said, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down in silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth forevermore. From this time, yes, I know that's the guy that committed adultery. I know that. And as I've said before, none of you would have voted him to be pastor here. Nobody would have voted David to be pastor. Nobody. We'd have thought you was crazy if you did. But yet the Lord said, he is a man after my own heart. He's after me. He chases me. He writes songs about me. Before I even called him, he was writing psalms about me out in the field. He's after me. And as long as you're after him, God is after you. Can you say amen? So have this testimony this morning of tenacity that no matter what happens to you or in your life, you have the ability to get up and go it again. Brother, you wouldn't be here. You could have rolled over and said, I'm ready to die. And maybe you did, but somehow the Lord spared you that you're here to go again. Never give up. Hold fast. Cling to it. Cling to what is right. Paul warned the churches many times. He said, hold fast to sound doctrine. Hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to your confidence. Hold fast to your profession of faith. Why? Because they were in deceitful times. And we have to hold fast to it. And so he went on and talked. Paul talked about who shall separate me from the love of Christ. I'm talking about tenacity. A man that they would beat with rods and they would leave him for dead. And the Bible said, and the next day he was back into the city teaching and preaching in their synagogues. Tenacity to get up, bruises and all, and go back at it again. You know, for us, we said, well, I ain't going there again. They said something to me in that church. He didn't shake my hand. Passed right by me and didn't shake my hand. I'm going to go, oh, come on. Where's the tenacity? The tenacity of just sticking things out. The problem is, with church is, you don't have to come to this church. You don't have to go to any church. See, the problem with raising children is different than raising up a church. Because you raise children, they have no place to go if you whip them. They're 10 years old. They can say, well, I'm leaving home. They'll be back in 30 minutes. You don't treat me right. I'm leaving home. They'll be back. Let them go camp in the yard like Tom and I did, and the ski just started. We're going to go camp in the yard for a few days. 30 minutes later, we're back in. Tent stayed out there, and we come in. I want my bed. They don't have any place to go. But in church, you see, if I don't treat you just the way you want to be, and when you get over there, where is the tenacity to just stick things out? And we teach our children wrong. You don't like it, leave. You don't like this, don't do it. You know, and we teaching them wrong. We're not teaching them to hold out to the bitter end. Tenacity. Everyone say it with me, tenacity. Tenacity. Job said, I'm going to hold on to what I know is right. I'm going to hold fast to my integrity. He had three friends that came. We called them Job's comforters. Y'all have those kind of comforters? Y'all have those comforters? Sitting around the campfire and just come to see you, Job. You know, you must have done something wrong, Job. Because there ain't nobody had as much as you had and go down as far as you went. And the other guy said, Job, you messed up somewhere along the line because nobody would be having sores like you had. If God really loved you, you wouldn't be in this shape. So it must be you that messed up. And all the while Job's thinking, that's when he put forth this parable to them. He said, as long as I got breath in his spirit in my nostrils and breath in my lungs, I will hold fast to my righteousness. Tenacity. From dust I came, to dust I go. It is certain I brought nothing into this world. It is certain I'll bring nothing out. I'm going to hold on. It takes tenacity to hold in there, brother, when everybody's talking about you and everybody's saying stuff behind your back. It takes tenacity to overlook that and keep singing, keep preaching, keep teaching, keep walking, keep living for God. As they come this morning, Job decided that if I go to the grave, I'm going to go to the grave believing. I'm going to go to the grave hoping. Amen. And Job left us this tribute to tenacity. I preached you a sermon one time called the 39th day. Does anybody remember the 39th day? Okay, I get to preach it again now. The children of Israel are waiting on Moses. And Moses is up in the mountain. And they're down in the valley, and Aaron, their high priest, you know, is there. And Moses is going to go hear from the Lord. He's going to bring back a word from the Lord. And day one goes by, and day two, 10, 12, 14. And after a while, they go, I don't think that Moses is coming. I don't think he's coming. I think a bear got him. Some wild beast got him, and he's not coming. We need a God. See, Moses was a God unto them. So the Bible says he was a God unto Pharaoh. We need a God. So let's make one, because he's not coming back. And I preached the 39th day. On the 39th day, they decided to give up. They decided he's not coming back. But on the 40th day, he comes back. He comes back. 40 is that time of completion. And he comes back, and he hears the camp. In the camp, he says to Joshua, he said, they have victory. Victory in the camp. No, it's war. It's war. No, victory, war, victory, war, victory, war. I don't know what it is. And he gets down there, brother, and you know what? They got their clothes off, and they're dancing around their God. They made a God that was like in Egypt where they came from. Because when you backslide, you always go back into what you came out of. And they made a God that was a bull or a calf, which is what Egypt served. And they said, behold our God that brought us across the Red Sea. Behold our God and that fed us in manna. And they began to dance around that God on the 39th day. Had they waited, sister, one more day, they wouldn't have done that. The tenacity to wait it out. I've said before, I say it again, never make a decision until you have all the facts. You hearing me? All the facts. And never make a decision to quit until you have another plan. I'm just going to quit this job. I'm so sick of it. Okay, go ahead and quit. Then what? I'm just leaving over here. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to do my own thing. And then what? Important decisions should be based upon all the circumstances and not just what you think somebody did or said. Hold on to your integrity. Hold on. It's like the three Hebrew children said, oh, King, I want you to know that we're not going to bow down to your God. Even though I see the fire and it's stoked up seven times, I'm not leaving my God to serve your God. They had tenacity. They put Daniel in the lion's den. He had tenacity to open the doors and pray as he did before. I remember a man named Jacob who had tenacity. Yes, he made a lot of mistakes, but he had tenacity. That night when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord said, let me go for the day breaketh. He said, I will not let you go except you bless me. As you stand this morning, where's your tenacity? Where's your rebound? Hallelujah. Can you get up again and do it again and do it better this time? Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. I had written in my notes about if you were being lifelined out of a place that was burning and a helicopter come over and they dropped you something. And this morning we're on our way to church and this helicopter came over. Did y'all see that? And he brought something. I told Jerry, I said, that's amazing. I haven't seen a helicopter do that in many, many years. That's what I want to preach about this morning. If they were lifelining you out and they drop you, the guy up there is in control, but you're out of control. And he drops you a lifeline. And what is he going to tell you? Hold on. Don't fight it. Hold on. If you were drowning, someone would throw you a lifeline. Quit fighting it. Quit trying to swim out of it. Just hold on. Things will change. And that's That's why Paul said, I fought a good fight. I'm through fighting. I fought through fighting. I have kept the faith. I'm holding on now. I don't know where you're at, if you're still in the fighting stage or the holding on stage, but sooner or later, my brothers and sisters, you got to quit fighting and start holding on. And start holding on. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith, and that's what I'm going to keep. Jesus told Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail not. You may fail, but hold on to your faith. Amen. This morning, as you come, hallelujah, show your determination this morning. Why don't you come pray a little while before you leave and show the Lord, I'm sticking this thing out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, till the walls come tumbling down.
Turn to my heart to praise Him.